When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Tide Talk Live, a special live edition of the show. Stacy Blackwood, joined as always by my good buddy Jake Thomas to talk some Crimson Tide football, recruiting, basketball, you name it. Whatever you got going on in the chat, we'll discuss as well. Jake, how you doing on this Monday night?
Man, I'm doing great, Stacy. Trying to not get, knocked over by the wind right now. It's a little windy here in Alabama. It's crazy.
No doubt about it. The wind is going wild here in North Alabama. Roll Tide, Richard, good to have you in on the show. Tide. If you're watching right now, please give us a Roll Tide and let us know where you're watching from. We'd love to give you a shout out on the show. But if you're new to the show, please do subscribe to the channel here on YouTube. We're also free and available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, just wherever you find podcasts, you can find Tide Talk Live. And if you do listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a 5-star written review. That helps us out tremendously. And if you do that, guys, we will read your review here live on the show. So we would greatly appreciate that. If you happen to be watching the recorded version of this on YouTube, please jump in the comments and give us your thoughts as well. We're going to be talking about a handful of things here on our live show. Of course, we'll interact with you in the chat, but we're going to be talking about some of the surprise portal entries from the Crimson Tide. We're going to be talking about the incredible defensive back signing class that Alabama's got here in 2024, and then we'll touch on some Bama hoops when we wrap the show up. So they're just now getting into SEC play, so excited about that. Roll Tide, Trina, watching from 3,000 miles away, where it is -8°F. Bless your heart.
Yeah, you can keep that up there.
That is crazy.
Roll Tide, Trina. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you for being on. Jake, I guess we're starting with the transfer portal, and we want to hear from you guys as well. When you look at who entered the portal from Alabama, was there anybody that just surprised you the most or shocked you the most?
Well, we had one today that kind of shocked me. That was, Kendrick Blackshire. You know, I really thought that, his time in Alabama, he's played a fairly good bit and has been a great role player. And I mean, he had a chance to be a starter. It's in like this coming up year and fought for the position at least. So that kind of shocked me today. Other than that, I don't really have any surprises. I think with all the issues Seth had this past season, it kind of was written in on the wall that he was going to be gone. I hope that everybody that goes, they ball out and be great elsewhere, because, like I said Wednesday night, everybody picked on and has berated Seth McLaughlin. I'm not going to be that type of guy. What happened, and he made a lot of mistakes this year, but he's still a human being. So, I mean, getting the death threats and all that for him, that's just absolutely ridiculous. So, we need to be better, guys. I mean, there's no reason to go to that point in life that you wish somebody who plays on your favorite football team to die. I mean, we're just insane.
Yeah, that's there's a reason the short term the short word for fanatical is fan. I mean, it's you know, that some people take it way overboard, and you know, it is what it is. But like you said, Seth played the way he played, but he was a good player before this year.
Right.
He started a lot of football for Alabama. Wish him nothing but the best. A class act, both on the field and off the field. One of the best dudes you're going to find. So really wish him the best. And you see what other teams around the country think of him. I mean, he's going to play at Ohio State.
Right.
So the dude can play. Ohio State's not going to take a portal guy that they don't think can play. So Seth McLaughlin's a good football player, and I think he's going to do well at Ohio State. He got a little bit of the yipsies this year with the snapping. And, you know, you can say what you want to about him, but for the most part in his career at Alabama, he's been a good football player, and I wish him nothing but the best. But when you talk about surprise guys, the first name that I think of is Earl Little Jr. That really surprised me, Jake. The fact that I thought that he, with Arnold gone, with Kool-Aid gone, with, you know, Jalen Key gone, there's a great shot that Earl Little would be starting next year at Alabama. And for him to enter the portal, it makes me think there's something else, you know, besides playing time that was factoring in. And, you know, he's already committed to Florida State. You know, his high school coach, which happened to be Patrick Surtain Sr., is now the defensive backs coach there in Tallahassee. So a lot of connections there for him in Tallahassee. So I wish Earl Little nothing but the best, but it did surprise me a little bit that he entered the portal. I hate to see Jake Pope enter the portal as well. Because that's another guy who I thought could be at least a rotational player upcoming in 2024. So that kind of surprised me a little bit. But for the most part, Jake, none of the portal entries outside of Earl Little really surprised me a ton. And I hate to see Earl Little go because I think he's going to be a phenomenal football player. You mentioned Kendrick Blackshire. With the fact that the Deontay Lawson came back and Jihad Campbell's going to be back, he wasn't going to start.
No.
So he's only got 1 year left of eligibility, so might as well take that his talent somewhere else and see if he can get a starting job. And you know, I can see him getting a lot of looks from I think of teams like Texas Tech or TCU. He's from the state of Texas, so – I could see him moving back there and playing and competing with one of those top teams. So be interesting to see where Kendrick Blackshire goes because he's a really good football player. He played good for Alabama when he had the opportunities. He just got first round dudes in front of him. So it's just kind of a bad luck and bad timing on his part. But he is a good football player. All these guys are good football players. And the bad thing to me, look, the transfer portal is good and bad. I mean, it's like everything else. There's a lot of unintended consequences. And part of the unintended consequences, Jake, are the fact that guys like Jake Pope is a prime example of this, Jake. He's a guy that you take, the Alabama took in the 2021 class, a 2022 class, excuse me, a guy that you knew it was going to take him 2 to 3 years before he was that dude for you.
Right.
And now all you've done is train him to get him ready to be that dude. And now he's going to use that talent somewhere else. And it's just unfortunate, but it's the time that we're in. There's nothing we can do about it. Just got to live with what you get. And I just wonder if it's going to change Coach Saban's recruiting philosophy when it comes to taking these guys that you know are going to be developmental players, and it's going to take them, you know, 2 to 3 years before they ever are ready to be a starter on your team. Do you waste the scholarships then? Are you more heavy involved in the portal then? So to me, it's your strategy is going to be changing all throughout the landscape of college football because of the transfer portal. And then you tack on what NIL has become. It is a crazy world, Jake. You're the head coach of a major college football program like Alabama. The coaching is like the last of his worries.
Right.
It is roster management. I mean, it is that is going to consume 90% of your time if you're a head coach now.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of flipped to the NFL script, you know, almost. You know, it's a free agency per se nowadays, and you know, and the biggest thing is you have to coach during the season. You have to get your players ready for the season. You got practice. You have to make sure that they're going to class, keeping the grades up. Then you got to make sure that they all get ample amount of playing time to that they and try to keep them on your team when the season ends. So it's a lot of management going on, like you said, Stacey, right now. It's incredible.
Yeah, I don't know how they – I still think even with Blackshire in the portal, I still think they have about 8 more guys on scholarship than what they're supposed to have. So, you know, regardless of how many guys you portal in or portal out, 85 is still that magic number. And I think with the exit of Blackshire, I still think they're around 93 guys on scholarship at Alabama right now.
Golly.
So talk about roster management. Coach Saban's still got a lot to comb through and go through. And, you know, I'm sure there's a way to navigate around those numbers if you have to, whether it's through NIL or, you know, taking guys off scholarship and, you know, they're only on there through NIL. So it's just crazy what these coaches are having to go through right now. And, you know, it kind of reminds me, I don't know if you caught this or not. And if you wasn't paying attention, you didn't catch it. But after Auburn got destroyed by Maryland in the bowl game, do you remember what Coach Freeze said after the game?
Yeah, he pretty much berated his offensive game plan and said his offensive coaches didn't game plan real well. He was off recruiting.
He said that he was not involved with the game plan up until a day or a couple days before the game because he was so involved in recruiting. First of all, I would never admit that if I was a head coach. No. I mean, that's like saying, hey, I'm only halfway doing my job.
Right, yeah.
So, but I think the point he was trying to make is this current schedule that these coaches have to work through with players being able to leave before the season's over is absolutely ridiculous. They've got to do something about the calendar of college football, Jake, because it is driving these coaches crazy. And, you know, they're making it basically impossible for these guys to keep up with their rosters and manage in the proper way.
Yeah, it is. It's not fun for sure. You know, I'd hate to be a coach right now trying to do all that because it's time consuming for sure.
Yeah, they brought the early signing period on in December where, you know, most of these major programs, they're done with their classes in December for the most part. But then you got guys transferring out, maybe even transferring in between the end of the season and in the bowl game. There's just way too much going on for these coaches to manage. And yeah, and Richard, I see they do make $10 million a year. I understand that, but you know, Troy's head coach is having to go through the same thing right now, and he's not making $10 million a year.
No, I mean, it's got some of the small colleges who's making probably $1 million.
Right. You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, they've got to do something about the schedule because, I mean, the NFL coaches make more on average than what these college coaches make, and they ain't got to do this.
No,
So there's just and the problem is there's been so much change at one time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's kind of led to this, you know, calendar being the way it is because of all the change that's happened, you know, so quickly over the landscape of college football. So it's just a wild time right now. And the portal has really transformed the game, Jake. And if you look at teams like Washington playing tonight in the college football national championship, you know, what they have with Michael Penix as a transfer quarterback, you know, and that's just one example. There's just the portal can be really good. I'm not anti-portal, but I am 100% anti-guys being able to leave between the end of the regular season and bowl season. Mm-hmm. Something has to be – that's like saying, hey, you can quit before the year's over. Like, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I also have a problem with players sitting out in their bowl games too. Now, I understand there's a lot of money involved, you know, at their top talents. I understand that. But, I mean, you know, my argument is, well, Bryce and Will Anderson both were the number one and number three picks, and they played their bowl games. And I feel like how to combat that is if you're making if you got NIL money and you set out, well, you lose all that. There ought to be some kind of stipulation where you had to play your entire schedule, including bowl game, you know, in order for you to get that NIL money.
Yeah, Richard made a point about how these guys need to be on contracts.
Yeah.
And, you know, with NIL, and I'm sure all this will eventually come. Like we said, the reason it's so chaotic right now is because all this come about at like one time.
Right.
You know, the portal really become as crazy it is right now, at the same time that NIL was mm-hmm. was really starting to take hold. So, you know, I'm with Richard. I think if these guys want to make NIL money, if they want to be treated like professionals and make money to play, then they got to play.
Right. Period.
I mean, look, I don't believe in quitting. I don't believe in letting your teammates down. I mean, Florida State is the biggest example of this, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my gosh, they didn't like they belong in the same field as Georgia.
No.
Because they had so many dudes quit on them.
Right.
They quit, Jake. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You can call it what you want. You can call it opting out. That sounds nice and cozy and makes you feel good all inside. But they quit on their teammates, Jake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what that did? It humiliated their teammates by getting beat by the worst any team has ever gotten beat in a bowl game in the history of college football.
That's going to sting forever for Florida State.
So I don't like it. It's not right to be able to quit on your team before the season's over. It's just not.
Yeah.
We'll get to her in just a sec. People say, well, these coaches do. Yeah, they're under contracts. They don't get paid their full contract if they leave one school to go to another. That's how contracts work. And that's what Richard's saying. Put these guys on contracts and they may think twice about quitting on their teammates.
Yeah, I agree. And Trina said the portal needs to remain closed until after the Natty. I agree with that too. You know,
there's no reason for the transfer portal to be open until the college football season is complete.
And that's not complete until the national championship game.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of problems that need to be fixed in college football. And those are just two of them. I guess we could go on for a long time about all that, but outside of Earl Little and you mentioned Kendrick Blackshire, Rodale Williams is in the portal. We talked about Seth McLaughlin. There's not really anybody else, like I mentioned, that just really surprised me as far as who entered the portal for Alabama. Anybody else stand out to you, Jake, before we move on?
Not really. You know, with some players coming back like Tim Smith, I didn't think Goodwin would be able to you know, he's a rotational player as well. I'm not sure if he could make that next jump and be into, you know, the starting position, starting. Christian Story, maybe he might have been fighting for a spot and, you know, as a safety. But with a couple guys leaving, like Earl Little Jr. and Jake Pope now, Christian Story, this opens up an opportunity, and we're supposed to get into about this 2024 class. And there's a lot of good guys that are on the roster now and, you know, in the secondary, but this is opportunity for a young guy to make strides and make his first career start, you know, just coming in fresh in program. But I have a feeling somebody that's already on the squad is going to be there. Cause man, they're just so much talent in that secondary. It's incredible.
No doubt about it. That's a good segue into mm-hmm. to this defensive back class.
Hey, Caitlin.
24, Jake. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's incredible what Nick Saban and his staff have done for this class of 2024. You look at these signees, Jake. Jalen Mbakwe, Zay Mincy, Zabian Brown, Peyton Woodyard, Jameer Grimsley, just Red Morgan. You think about Drake Kirkpatrick Jr., mm-hmm. Jake, this class is incredible. Then you throw in Damani Jackson, the transfer from USC, Jake.
Oh, my gosh.
My gosh, this defensive back class for Nick Saban in Alabama is extremely loaded.
Yeah.
And you got to think that they bring in a guy like Damani Jackson because they think he can help right away, a former five-star talent, one of the better players coming out of high school. So, you know, even though you lose guys like Jake Pope and Earl Little, you have to feel good about what you're bringing in this 2024 class.
Yeah, man. We're Trey Amos is already back. So we've got one side of the field, you know, locked down. Cause he, you know, when he played, man, I really like his style, how he plays. He just plays a physical brand. And that's what Alabama football is about. Physical brand. Now you're bringing Damani Jackson on the other side. And I mean, my gosh, you got two lockdown corners. And then, you know, Malachi coming back, that really helps the back end because he was a signal caller for the back end this year. So having him come back, will help not only Caleb Downs, but all these younger guys as well who may step up and play this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think the Malachi returning is big. From an experience standpoint, look, Malachi is what he is. We've seen what he is. He's a good football player. He's not going to be an elite player, but he's a good football player that you like to have on your team. But you mentioned Trey Amos. Love what that kid could do in his time that he was able to play this year for Alabama, the transfer from Louisiana last year. But with the Kool-Aid and Terrion gone, your corners are gone. But you got Trey Amos. You bring in a guy like Damani Jackson, who's an experienced FBS Power 5 starter at USC, former 5-star recruit. So you like what you have in him as well. And Caleb Downs, Jake, my goodness. Sure. I mean, you could argue he's the best safety in the country as a true freshman.
Yeah.
He's certainly among the elite in college football. So despite losing what they're losing, there's a lot to like about the secondary in 2024.
Man, it's loaded. I keep saying it's loaded because, I mean, it is. You got some experience coming back. You got arguably, like you said, the best safety returning in Caleb Downs. And then you bring in a 5-star recruit like Damani Jackson to help shore up the other side of the field. So, you know, you got to like how it's laid out so far for the 2024 class and team secondary-wise next year.
Yeah, I really like the Zay Mincy kid that just committed this past weekend from at the All-American Bowl. Jake, I like that dude. I think he has a chance to be special. You're talking about a guy that's 6'2", you know, 190 pounds, great length, great athleticism, could play corner, could play safety, could play star, could line him up anywhere on the field, and he can be a playmaker. So I just really like what he brings to the table. You look at the – Jalen Mbakwe, Jake, is one of the best athletes in high school football this year. A guy who I think probably needs a year of development, you know, to get that, you know, the technical and the technical part of the position down pat. But Jake, I think once he gets it going, he's going to be an elite player at Alabama. I really like Xavier Brown, a guy to me who what I would say is probably already a really good technician for a high school prospect. So you kind of have a mix of all these type of players that are going to the defensive backfield. And Richard brings up a good
point. Yeah.
Des Ricks is still there. Jaleel Hurley is still there. There is so much talent returning in the back end of that defense. And I'm just hoping that when Alabama gets beat in games, it's because for some reason their secondary loses their man. I just want to see that be better next year, Jake.
Yeah.
I get so sick of the lapses in the back end, Jake. It gets, you know, it happened against Michigan like 4 or 5 times where guys running wide open. You know, if a guy beats you one-on-one, he beats you. But to not even cover a dude because you can't communicate what you need to communicate, Jake, that's not acceptable at Alabama.
No, it's not.
It's simply not acceptable at Alabama. So they got a lot to clean up, but I like the pieces they bring back. Tony Mitchell's another guy who I think is going to be a really good football player. So there's not a talent there's not a lack of talent there. So
no,
I'm excited to see what these guys look like in the spring because I think that's going to be a heated competition in that back end to see who can play. A guy like Devontae Smith was going to be a starter this fall most likely until he gets hurt in the preseason, and then he doesn't get to play. So it's crazy, Jake, the amount of talent that is back there and the amount of talent that's going to be there once the 2024 season is rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony Mitchell, you know, he saw the field a little bit this year. You know, he paid his dues. You know, everybody knows what happened to him. He got arrested. You know, he was in that Saban doghouse for a while. Then Saban started sprinkling him in on special teams. I think he had a couple of series with the defense. So he may be a guy that can step up and take, you know, get a starting job perhaps, and you know, with Jalen Key going. So, you know, keep an eye on him. And of course, Devontae Smith as well. He's, you know, could potentially be a starter this year as well.
Yeah, and an important thing to remember, guys, is that even though there's probably not going to be many more portal guys the next couple of days, there's going to be a handful, but there will be more following the spring semester. There'll be some guys portal out following spring football, Don't be surprised. Don't be caught off guard. It's just the nature of the beast. Nothing to worry about. It's happening everywhere. So just wanted to kind of give everybody a warning of what's to come here in a few months, because that'll be here before we know it. There'll be, you know, a day will be going on before we know it, and more guys will be portaling out than we'd like to think.
Yeah, you're right. Richard said he'd like to see Murphy get a shot at middle linebacker. I mean, I would too, but whose spot is he going to take?
You know? I ain't taking Lawson out or Jahad Campbell. I like those players.
Yeah, I do too.
But you saw a three-man kind of rotation work for Alabama this year at middle linebacker. You know, perhaps that's something they can do moving forward as well, because I do think Murphy's a really good player.
I think he
could be really good for Alabama.
I agree. You know, you need depth at Alabama because they like to rotate in and out. And
well, look, and Lawson and Campbell have shown that they're prone to some injuries, especially Lawson. He's had a lot of injuries throughout his career. So, yeah, I mean, Sean Murphy better be ready. I think he could, you know, there's a great possibility he would be thrown into action because of injury here in 2024.
You know, like the saying goes, you know, it's next man up at Alabama. You got to be ready when your time's called.
No doubt about it. Anything else, Richard, that you'd like to hit us with?
I want to ask you, what do you think about Daniel Hill, you know, the running
back? Oh, I love Daniel Hill.
Yeah.
He's trying to think. Do you remember Jalen Samuels that played at NC State a few years ago?
Yeah.
That's who he reminds me of, a guy that you can play at running back, kind of an H-back, you know, maybe even put him at tight end, just because Daniel Hill has elite pass-catching traits for a running back.
Yeah.
I mean, elite. He runs good routes. He can high point the football. He's got incredibly soft hands to be 6 foot, 240 pounds. So I just he's a beast, man. I don't know how quick he'll get into the rotation, but Alabama had a dude like him to hand the ball to in a long time.
Yeah, probably since Derrick Henry, I guess. You know, but yeah, I forgot. It was in their All-American game. I forgot who it was, but he drug somebody like five yards.
KJ Bolden, the number one safety in the country.
Yeah, I mean, just drug him 5 yards for the end zone. I was like, my gosh, this dude's got – I mean, he's got power, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, I really like Daniel Hill. I think he'll be a really, really good player for Alabama. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to use him in a multitude of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, give him the ball 3rd and 1. Yeah, that's – it should be almost automatic with him. But
Let me ask you this, Jake. With Seth gone, who do you think is going to be the center next year? And with Terrence Ferguson, because as soon as Seth went into the portal, I thought, well, Terrence Ferguson will move to center. Mm-hmm. He'll probably be the center. And then, you know, moments later, Terrence Ferguson enters the portal.
I know. Perhaps when that Brockmire kid. But I mean,
yeah, James Brockmire, yeah.
Yeah, so – you know, there may be a reason why he stayed, because I figured he'd be in the poor before Terrence Ferguson would be. So, you know, I guess it's his time. We'll see how it goes. But behind him, I'm not sure. You know, last year, I guess the de facto second guy was going to be Darian Dalcourt. He's gone now as well. So I think it's going to be – is it James Brockmire?
Yeah, James Brockmire.
Yeah, the other one I think transferred out last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he's at TCU now.
Yeah, so – I think it's going to be his time. I'm not sure. I've not seen much of him play, so I'm not sure. But, I mean, I think he'd do all right. Just snap the ball good.
Yeah. The thing with Brockmire, well, first of all, center is – the offensive line in general is a developmental position anyway.
Right.
But especially center, Jake. That is there's not many freshmen that can come in and play center at this level of college football. So, it's a developmental position. And I was fisting to go with that point, Richard. He's a smaller guy. You know, he's under 300 pounds. So you worry about the physicality part of the game, especially in the SEC. Is he going to be able to hold up? But I do like Brockmire, but I also like Rock Montgomery, Jake, the guy who was a freshman this season. I think there's a chance that he and Brockmire could compete for that starting center spot. And I will even kind of throw in a wild card, Oleus Alien. I know he's primarily a guard, but I think he got a few looks here and there throughout the season as a center. So that could be a potentially a name to watch as well.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Yeah, you know, at Alabama, you know, Saban likes to work with his offensive line. So
yeah, cross-train. He likes to cross-train him.
Right. You know, you have a guy that may be a great tackle, but – Saban puts him at guard and then may kick him out when he's a junior to play left tackle, right tackle, whatever. So, you know, there you have an opportunity to get on the field, you know, with Alabama once there's places for you to play and openings to be had. So center is going to be interesting to see. I feel like the offensive line, you know, we got Caden Proctor coming back and Booker got to find a center. Then you've got
Jaden Roberts,
yeah, and then right tackle. We got to figure out who right tackle is going to be too. So there's going to be some competition on the offensive line this year.
No doubt about it. It's kind of surprising it took you know nearly 30 minutes into the show to for this to be brought up. But DG does bring up a great point. And look, this is going to be, you know, heavily communicated and talked about all throughout the offseason because it's the quarterback position in Alabama. It's always a selling point. It's always something to talk about. And but what you said is true, DG. Mm-hmm. Milroe struggled in that department. We talked about it in our instant reaction show. He just struggled to see the blitz, and it really hurt Alabama's passing game against Michigan. It really did. And I do think the competition is going to help all the guys. I mean, that's one of the best things about Ty Simpson staying, because to me, at worst, he just makes Jalen better.
Right.
Worst case scenario, Dylan and Ty and Julian just make Jalen better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about it. I think Alabama's going to be fine at quarterback in 2024, regardless of who it is.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm not saying Jalen's not going to be the guy. I'm just saying, you know, with Saban, anything can happen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, I feel like this offseason, this spring, this summer, you know, they're going to work with Jalen with that, because we already know what he can do with his legs. We don't need to work on his running. We don't need to work on any of that. It's got to be his passing and his decision-making. And if he works on that, I feel like he can be a great quarterback. He just got to take that next step. And if he can't, then we got Ty, who's got experience as well, that can step in. And, you know, I think I said it last year, you know, whether it be Ty or Jalen Milroe, I feel like this team can win. We know we can win with Jalen because he did it. He went through a grueling SEC schedule. Now we're going to add two more, you know, games in the SEC this year or one. But Richard also said, don't sleep on Lonergan. I really like Lonergan as well. I've really been impressed with his arm. I mean, he's got an accurate arm for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the quarterback room is deep and talented at Alabama. Yeah. I think the truth is right now, Alabama has four guys that could start at a lot of places.
Right.
Even Julian Sain as a freshman, Jake, could start at a lot of places. So I like the quarterback room. I like the way Milroe developed. I really do. I think his post-snap decisions got better as the season went on. Mm-hmm. You saw him not throw it into harm's way near as much as he did early on the season. But it's the pre-snap stuff. That's what he needs. He throws the ball accurate enough. He's got plenty of arm talent. We know that. We know what he can do, you know, with his legs. And just the pre-snap stuff, it's the little things with him right now, Jake. The little things are keeping Milroe from being an elite player. I'm talking about elite player. He's already really special because of what he can do with the ball in his hands.
Right.
But sure. If he can get the little stuff down, Jake, I'm telling you, he could be as elite as they come.
Yeah. Sarah Crane said, we desperately need a good solid center. Take away the bad snap, disastrums, and I believe Jalen will improve drastically.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying there, but to me, it's easy to say that, but all that happens all the stuff is post-snap.
Mm-hmm.
To me, what Jalen misses is all the pre-snap stuff. It's it's, you know, which way to slide the protection so he doesn't have a free rusher coming at him.
Yep.
You know, who's his hot read? Knowing to take the check down when the check down is there and not sitting back there for 4 or 5 seconds and then taking a sack.
Yeah.
If Jalen can improve on those three things, he will be as good as any other quarterback in the country.
Yep, I agree. He needs to work on his reads and mid-game check down. Yep. He sticks to one wide receiver too long. I agree with that.
Yeah. But seeing what we're talking about, every bit of it's correctable.
Right.
Every bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Blitz and check. Yep, for sure.
All right. Those snaps take away his time to pick his target. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. But he also made a lot of plays from bad snaps too. So, because those bad snaps also throw off the timing of the defense as well. Because you know they see the ball drop and they're like, hey, what? You know they delay as well. So it messes up the timing of the offense for sure. But see, Jalen can't control that. I'm talking about stuff Jalen can control. Jalen can control the pre-snap stuff. He can't control what happens when the center snaps the ball.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you got a free rusher that we missed, you know, pre-snap, that's on Jalen. He's got to see that coming. And he's got to pick up disguises because, I mean, a lot of teams are going to start disguising blitzes. Michigan did it. I mean, they sent delayed blitzes all the time and he did not see it until it was too late.
Well, and he missed the easy stuff too, Jake. I mean,
when
they load one side, and you don't slide your protection that way, you're gonna get eat up. You're gonna get eat alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just little stuff. I mean, but I'm proud of the way Jalen played this season. He improved tremendously. I don't want to be negative about Jalen one bit, or this team for that matter. I mean, it's been a week since Alabama dropped the game to Michigan. I'll be honest with you, I was sad after the game because I wanted to win, but I never once was mad because Jake we talked about it in that instant reaction show.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan made the plays in the final 4 minutes and overtime to win the game, and Alabama didn't.
Yep.
Everything else that happened before that didn't matter.
Right.
But the final 4 minutes and overtime mattered, and Michigan got it done, and Alabama didn't, and it's just that simple.
Yeah. You're right. I feel like Jalen does have to make that next step, though, to be the elite quarterback that he wants to be.
And he's got to make that next step to hold off the guys that are behind him because they are elite as well.
Yeah, they are.
So it's not just about Jalen getting better so he can be elite. Jalen's got to get better if he wants to hold on to his job. And I know we don't like talking about stuff like that, but we don't mind. Seth McLaughlin's a prime example. Mm-hmm. We don't mind saying, hey, we need to pull our starting center because he's making bad plays. But anytime somebody brings up, hey, our quarterback's not making good plays, we need to take him out. Oh, no, we can't do that.
Right.
It's just like all other 21 positions. If you don't do your job and get your job done good, the other guy that's sitting behind you, if he's doing the right stuff, he's going to take over your spot. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what position it is.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
Not only does Jalen – need to get better so he improves himself and becomes the best that he can be. But he better be getting better because these dudes behind him are coming.
Yeah.
They're coming, Jake.
Yep.
And I don't even – I don't mean that as a knock at Jalen. I'm just saying if he wants to hold on to that job, he needs to keep growing.
Yeah.
And I think he can. I believe he can.
I do too. Look at Sarah. Sarah says she's been around since the days of Bear Bryant. So she got to see the two greatest college football coaches.
Ain't that crazy?
That is awesome, Sarah. You know, I loved seeing – you know, I've seen videos and stuff of Coach Bryant and some of the games, but I would love to experience that because – I mean, I'm sure it was like anything, unlike anything that's been out there since Saban come in.
No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, DG said Will Rocket and Burnett were ready going.
Golly, they carried Alabama in that game.
I mean, when Burnett got ran through and didn't get a no call, he took that to heart, man. he was like
that Michael Jordan little short. I took that personal.
Yeah, I took that personally. Yeah, he did. I'm like, where's the flag at? I could not understand why that flag was not called there, but yeah, he got I think he messed up his leg a little bit, but it didn't affect him on any other punts. I think he had like 10 in that game, so we couldn't do anything on offense.
Hey, by the way, I'm getting some breaking news that Kevin Steele is retiring.
Really?
Alabama defensive coordinator Kevin Steele is retiring.
So T Rob, the next defense coordinator, perhaps?
Maybe. Wow. I don't know that we've ever had this kind of breaking news on a live show before, Jake.
I don't think we have either.
All right, so, Jake, instant reaction to Kevin Steele retiring.
Wow. Thank you, Kevin, for what you did. You helped change the sorry, my puppy got up, but I was like, I hear something behind me. I'm at home by myself. I'll explain later. But anyway, but yeah, Kevin Steele, he brought the old mentality back in Alabama. Something that I felt like we didn't have under Pete Golden. He brought the physicality back. You know, you didn't see any. I don't remember at all this year. Might have happened maybe one or two times of a offside penalty against Alabama this year. So The discipline, he instilled that again on the defense side of the ball. So this next guy, I hope he can. You know, whoever it is, maybe it's T Rob. I really like T Rob. He's a great recruiter. And what he did in the secondary this year, he's done great as well in the corners. So, but whoever it is, they've got to have that mindset, the physicality, the discipline that Kevin Steele brought back.
Kalen, don't lie. I know you want PG to come back next year.
Oh, God.
this to me, that's all I want to say about Kevin Steele.
Yeah,
they had that edge that they had not had under Pete Golden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the mentality standpoint. I think just off the cuff, I'm with you. I think I think T-Rob gets the promotion to DC.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Saban, my gosh, he's known this is coming.
Yeah.
And he's already got a plan.
Yeah. I love that right there. Oh man!
Just letting the players go out there and play.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, I'll get this guy. You get that guy.
Right. Yeah. Jeremy Pruitt. I think he still got a show. Did he get a slow show clause? This.
Yeah. You know? It's going to be a while before he can coach again, I believe.
But he can come on as an analyst, though. Correct.
Yes. Correct. Correct. I think.
So I mean, and I think I know a few years ago we had Charlie Strong as an analyst. I'm not sure if he's still there or not, but
yeah, he's still with the team.
I mean, I don't know about Charlie Strong, but keeping him as an analyst, I'm fine with that if he wants to stay. Unless he gets a defense coordinator job somewhere else, I'm fine with that. But bringing on Jeremy Pruitt as an analyst, I would love that this coming year for sure. And then, you know, let him get acclimated. And then in a few years when that show clause ends, let him be the defense coordinator.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting, Jake. Crazy
development.
Yeah. But like we said, it didn't catch Jalen. It didn't catch Coach Saban off guard. I'm sure this was something discussed, you know, even when before he even come on as DC.
For sure.
Potentially being a one-year top thing for Kevin Steele. So very interesting news. And, of course, we'll be here to talk about that, you know, leading up to a new hire.
You want to answer Sam right there, Stacey?
Let's see what he says here. You sure are sounding like you're trying to take a knock at him. none of these guys are perfect. Jalen has proven that he had gotten better. Yeah, and I mean, Sam, I mean, I appreciate you commenting, but since when has it become – have you ever heard of the word constructive criticism?
Right.
I mean, did your parents ever correct you on anything? Did that mean they didn't like you?
Right.
I mean, where have we come to as a point in our culture where you can't even give any type of constructive criticism on somebody? Where if you say one negative thing about somebody, you don't like them and you're knocking them. It's an observation. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that Jalen Milroe struggled reading defenses pre-snap. It also doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that he improved dramatically throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And he's a heck of a football player. But two things can be true at one time. Jalen Milroe is a great football player, and Jalen Milroe can improve. Both of those things are true. And neither one of them are saying – when I say Jalen Milroe is a good football player, it's not saying, oh, he doesn't have anything to improve on. Just like saying there's stuff he needs to work on doesn't mean I think he's the worst player of all time. It's nonstop with some of these. I mean, we're fans. Right. We want Alabama to be good. We want Alabama to be the best they can be.
I don't know if anybody caught our instant reaction show from the game the other day, but Stacey made a clear point, and he's 100% correct. We love Jalen Milroe, but we love Alabama more. So if Jalen Milroe can't make that next step and get us to the national championship game, then we need to get somebody else at quarterback to do that.
That's the standard.
Yes, right.
Yeah, that's the standard. Look, I'm not knocking Jalen. I think he can do it. But I wouldn't be sitting here being honest if I didn't say that I thought he had stuff to improve on. I mean, I'm going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Jalen. I love Jalen. I want him. I want him to stay. I want him to be better. I want him to be the best player he could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to sit here and act like he's a perfect player.
No.
Just like I'm not going to sit here and act like Caleb Downs is a perfect player.
Mm-hmm.
Dude made some mistakes. Dude's got a lot of growing to do. Just because he's really good doesn't mean he can't improve.
Right.
And when when you play quarterback at Alabama, guess what? You're going to be under the microscope.
Yeah, you're right. You think Tom Brady didn't improve each and every year that he played in the NFL to get better? I mean, to win those Super Bowls, he improved himself each and every year. You know, he had to. So, anyone else that is like you, Jalen, should not even apply the criticism unreal.
I don't even know what that sentence means.
I know. Richard, I agree with you. I think Jalen knows he's got to get better.
Well, yeah.
Everybody knows that. They really don't want you here, buddy. That's not what we're saying. I love Jalen Milroe.
This is the type of stuff where you get to talk and just because you criticize a guy means you don't want him on the team. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I criticize Will Reichert every time I missed a kick, but that didn't mean I didn't want him wearing the crimson and white.
Right, exactly.
And I'm not expecting perfection by any of these guys, but it doesn't mean you don't like a guy if you criticize him.
Right.
Just like when your parents criticized you growing up or got on to you or whatever they did, however they disciplined you, it didn't mean they didn't like you or they didn't love you. It means they want you to become the best version of yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that's all it is. That's all it is. We know he can get better, and I know he knows he can get better.
Well, I just – it's frustrating when people try to put words in other people's mouths.
Right.
That's the frustrating part.
Yeah, we're not knocking anybody. We're, like they said, it's just constructive criticism.
Yeah.
And we can give it to everybody. I mean, look at Caden Proctor. Caden Proctor was horrible just, you know, his first four games. And everybody was on him, you know, get him out, put somebody else in. But – He improved. He got his footwork a little bit better, and SEC play he got a lot better, and didn't give up near the sacks. He started reading where the blitz is coming from on his side. He started reading better where whose guy his was. So, you know, it's just, you know, I really like Caden Pryde. I think he's going to be a great, great talent. Do I want him off the team? No. You know, same way with Jalen Milroe. I want these guys to succeed, you know.
But some just don't want to stop. I hear you, Sam. I appreciate you defending the players. I really do. But
yeah, 100%.
I think it's being unfair to the fans who want to criticize, to act like they're somehow the bad guy and they don't want Jalen on the team or whoever on the team just because they're criticized.
Yeah. The team would not have made it that far without him.
Yeah, I agree. You're right. I agree.
I mean, there was some
once again, two things can be true. Right. Alabama would not have been where they were at without Jalen Milroe. Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. Jalen Milroe can get better at reading defenses pre-snap. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
I mean, honestly, he carried us in the LSU game this year. I mean, he showed up and showed out in that game. And I'll say this, I think after the Texas game and before, I think he had one against Michigan. I may be wrong on that. But in between the Texas game and then that SEC slate, he only threw one interception, I think, that entire, you know, the rest of the season. So, I mean, he improved drastically. His pre-snap stuff was what we're talking about. It's got to get a little bit better.
Sam says, I can understand the criticism, but it's very continuous. Yeah, because he's the quarterback at Alabama. I mean, that's just – it comes with the territory, bro. I mean, like, right. I don't know what to tell you on that. I mean, that's just part of it.
It's like
being the president of the United States. I don't care who you are. You're going to get criticized.
I mean, I'll say this. I love Tua when he was here, but, I mean, I've been on
record. That dude took way too many sacks. He didn't know how to throw away the football, and it cost him a broke hip.
Yeah, I was going to say he's made of glass. I've said that. I said he's made of glass because he gets hurt way too much, and he didn't throw the ball away like he needed to. So, I think I've seen people talk about Bryce Young not being at times. So, you know, it's just comes with the territory, like they said. I mean, you're the quarterback at Alabama, Crimson Tide. That's pretty much the greatest, one of the greatest, you know, football programs of all time. And yeah, you got a microscope and it's very, very small.
Yeah. And there's, look, you got to remember from Sam, I don't know if you're from the state of Alabama. The state of Alabama is made of nothing but college football fans. I mean, right. There's no pro teams here. It's Alabama and Auburn and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, the Alabama quarterback is held to a different standard than anybody else in this state, fair or unfair.
Right.
But it comes with the territory. You want to be the starting quarterback at Alabama, then you have to live with all the consequences that entails.
Exactly. Yeah, Rich said, go back and look at the conversations when Hurts was here. I mean, there's a lot of people that didn't, you know.
Well, and Sam, I think I get what you say with that, but look, it's easy to criticize a play that doesn't work. It's that anybody can criticize a play that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So, but how well did the players execute? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I mean, the to me, the final play encompasses all that. Mm-hmm. You have the bad snap. Milroe rushes it because he had to feel the snap really low. Mm-hmm. J.C. Latham gets blown up. But all Milroe has to do is follow Jaden Roberts, the pulling guard, and he walks in for a touchdown. But the bad snap threw the timing off. So it wasn't the play call.
No.
Because the play was there.
Yep.
It was the execution of the play. Mm-hmm. So you can't – look, was Tommy Rees perfect? Of course not. Does Tommy Rees have to improve? Of course he does.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, especially in college football – it comes down to player execution more times than not.
Yeah.
I disagree completely. His play calling is not trash.
No, there's some good plays that he's called this year. It's a lot better than, you know, there was some creativity. Bill O'Brien didn't have any kind of creativity.
Yeah.
I really,
that's an opinion thing. I mean, you're more than welcome to have that opinion. I don't think he's perfect, but I do think he's a pretty good coordinator.
I mean, like you said, he's like 31, 32 years
old.
He's young.
And he's like he's like a freshman offensive coordinator, basically.
Yeah. And this is his first experience this year playing in the SEC, which is the toughest conference in America. So, you know, there was some that wasn't great and maybe a little bit too conservative, but I think he's going to learn next year and get better with that.
Well, and excuse me, you have to remember that, and Reese said this in the preseason, this is not his offense. This is Coach Saban's offense. He had to come in and learn the Alabama offense. And while he's trying to learn this Alabama offense, there's a quarterback competition between Jalen Milroe, Ty Simpson, and Tyler Buttner going on. So he had his hands full.
Yeah.
As a 31-yard offensive coordinator. And I thought once Jalen became the guy, Reese started implementing more of what Jalen was comfortable with. And we saw the offense continue to improve week by week as the season went on. Right. And so was he perfect? Not at all. Does he have a lot to improve on? Absolutely. But I think he has the makings of being a really good offensive coordinator.
I agree. Yeah, Sarah said, you people not think that Coach Saban does not criticize the players? I guarantee he does.
He doesn't publicly, but he would. I mean, because he's going to take the blame, you know, in the public eye. But
we don't know what's said in that locker room at halftime, though.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but I agree.
I agree with that, Sam, but there's not everybody's a Lane Kiffin.
No. There's Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian, and then there's everybody else, pretty much.
Like, as far as offensive ingenuity, there's Steve Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin.
Right. Yeah, DG said, good thing there was no internet in the late 90s until Saban got here.
Golly. There'd been
some serious meltdowns those quarterbacks.
Imagine having a podcast when Spencer Pennington was the quarterback for Alabama.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't imagine.
And Spencer, if you happen to be watching or listening, I'm sorry. I don't mean nothing by that. You were just the first name that came to my mind.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being critical of Brody Krull when he took like 8 sacks against Auburn that game. I'm like, come on, man.
Now, look, it's easy to be critical, you know, sitting at home. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate Sam wanting to defend the players. Right, I appreciate that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do think it's important to remember that there's nothing wrong with constructive criticism. We don't mean anything out of animosity. We wish nothing but the best for every single player on Alabama's football team. Right. And the reason why we don't wish nothing but the best for every single player on Alabama's football team is because we wish nothing but the best for Alabama football. So constructive criticism is fine. You know, I am thankful for what Milroe did. No doubt about it.
And Sam, if you want to go back and watch some of these other podcasts, I mean, I think before the season started, when we did our little preview show, we talked about how the guys on the defensive line, like Tim Smith, who needed to have a great year because, I mean, he's been kind of in, you know, just mid, as I call it, you know, at his time in Alabama. And he made a good step this year. And now he's coming back, so he needs to take that next step this year and be an elite defensive lineman for us. Same way, you know, Justin Aboyegbe, I know he had a serious neck injury last year, but, you know, he started getting better as the season progressed, and he was really good this year. But we've been critical of the coaches. Like, we talked about how this needed to be a make or break year for Freddie Roach. And I think he saved his job this year by the defensive line played. So he's going to get another opportunity with some, you know, he's still going to have really good talent, you know, defensive line. So they need to be playing it hard this year again.
No doubt about it. All great points, Jake. And real quick, look, we're at 55 minutes in. We're going to wrap it up here in a few minutes. But before we do that, Bama Hoops, Jake, is back in action, SEC action, I should say. They opened the SEC play on Saturday with a win at Vanderbilt. They play at home against South Carolina on Tuesday night. So make sure you guys tune in to that. Nate Oates has his team don't let the record fool you. This is still a really good basketball team who I think is going to get better as the season progresses and they kind of gel. Ten new players on this team and all new coaching staff playing perhaps the toughest non-conference schedule in all of college basketball, sitting at, 9-5 now?
9-5, yeah.
Get the road win against Vanderbilt on Saturday and now have a chance to get a home win on Tuesday night against South Carolina. So big things coming up for Bama Hoops. Cannot wait to kind of see how this team progresses throughout the SEC season.
Yeah, and like you said, Stacey, I would love to – I think there's like four tough games back-to-back. I would love to grab at least one of those wins. But even with those losses, Joe Lunenbill, whatever his name is. Joe Lunardi. He still has us like eight as an eight seed, which I've seen a lot of people say that would kind of be like a losing season per se for Alabama because that standard has gotten up there for basketball. But this team is still young, and that's what Nate Oates has done since his time in Alabama. He plays a tough non-conference schedule to get ready for SEC play and get this team ready for tournament play. So I think they're going to be really, really good. SEC is loaded this year. I mean, looks like Tennessee is going to be the team to beat. They look really, really good. I know they just drubbed Ole Miss, but at that time Ole Miss had an undefeated record. Georgia looks like they're playing really well right now with their new coach. South Carolina, I think they've only had like three losses. So
I think one.
They may only have one. So, I mean, SEC has taken a turn, has gotten really, really good. Kentucky, of course, is Kentucky. Auburn is really good this year. So it's going to be tough, but this is what this team's built on is a tough tournament play and tough SEC play. So they're going to be fine. They're going to roll through the SEC. They probably may end up maybe with 5-6 losses, you know, maybe 7, but it's still going to be top 4, top 5, I think, in the SEC.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think when it's all said and done, they'll be one of the top 5 teams in the league. And if you're one of the top 5 teams in the SEC, especially right now in basketball, you're one of the better teams in the country. So like what Nate Oates is doing, this team is elite offensively. They still got some work to do on the defensive end of the floor.
Right.
They're really missing that anchor down low, that Charles Bediako playing that drop coverage position. They don't really have that this year, but they're getting there. I think they're getting better defensively, but they still got some work to do. But I'm with you, Jake. Once the SEC season's over with and you're getting the SEC tournament, the NCAA tournament, Alabama's going to be, you know, right up there among some of the better teams in the country.
I agree, Stacey. I'm excited. Nate Oates has done great things with Alabama basketball. Hope he continues. You know, he'd come out a few weeks ago and said his family loves Tuscaloosa. So the biggest thing now is we just gave him an extension. We got to get that arena built for him. We got to keep him here for a long time because he's going to change. He's already changed his program, but he's going to get us to levels we've never been with basketball. So we got to keep him happy.
No doubt about it. All right, guys. Hey, been a lot of fun to interact with you here on the live show on this Monday night. National championship game coming up here in a little bit between Michigan and Washington. Real quick, Jake, who you got?
Going Washington.
Washington, okay. You know, I was one of the few people who picked Washington to beat Texas.
Right.
But I think Michigan's going to win. I think Michigan's going to win. I think it's going to be 28-24 Michigan.
I'm going to say 31-24 Washington. So, and real quick before we go, Stacey, I'm not sure, just give you guys a heads up, I'm not sure when we're going to be able to get on and do this again. Wednesday, my baby's going to be born, so I'm going to be kind of out of pocket for several months. But we'll try to come in. And for you guys, we got a lot to preview for next season and all that. And we got Bama Hoops to talk about. So, everything's going well with mom and the baby. She's in Birmingham. So I've been having to travel back and forth. But everything's well. We're going to have us a baby girl on Wednesday. So, you know, if you're the praying type, please pray for that and keep us in your thoughts and prayers for sure.
Awesome. Yep. Best of luck to you and Cassidy, Jake, on Wednesday. Congratulations from Richard. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching. Been a lot of fun to interact with you guys. If you're not already, please subscribe to the channel here on YouTube. Also find us on Apple Podcasts. Leave us that 5-star written review. That really helps us out there on the podcast platform as well. Been a lot of fun. Cannot wait to be back on here again real soon. But until then, guys, roll tide.
Roll Tide.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.